You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. We are discussing right now the nature of being a disciple of Jesus means that we love God and we love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You can't be a disciple that claims to love God and then hate people. There's a lot of people that try and rationalize themselves away from that very core point. But Jesus said, you got to have love one for another. And we're not only supposed to love the brethren, there is also a degree that we love those around us. And that is, we've got to make sure, this is how I ended yesterday's program, we've got to love people enough to get them ready for Judgment Day. Plain and simple as that. And so the love of God does that. It motivates us to prepare ourselves for standing before the throne of God. I want to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, which is the place where believers are rewarded for their actions, for their faith. I don't want to be standing before the Great White Throne Judgment, which is where unbelievers will be judged right before they are cast into the lake of fire. That's not a good place. There will be a few believers that are standing there, people who will give their lives to the Lord during that period of time from the millennium to the Great White Throne Judgment, where they chose a relationship with God over the devil's rebellious ways and hatred towards God. But because I love you, that's why I'm presenting this to you. There are a lot of people, they don't want to address the judgment to come. When Paul was ministering to Felix, I believe it was, Felix really liked talking to him until he started talking about righteousness and self-control and the judgment that was to come. It's one thing when you're the judge. It's another thing when you are being judged. And we even see that now. Listen, I encountered many, many years ago that there not everything that happened inside courtrooms was biblical. That's what I found out. I've never been a defendant or anything like that, but I've crossed the threshold a few times as, you know, concerned person in the community. And you know, I have a friend who said, hey, when you cross that threshold, you've entered a different world. Well, if the protocols and the behaviors in a courtroom are radically different here than eternity, I need somebody who prepares me for the protocol of heaven. And that's what love does. So we're going to be talking about that. Hey, want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air has been around for 50 years or more. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They're centrally located here in Brevard County, but they travel all throughout Brevard County. I know for a fact they've done work as far south as Barefoot Bay. I know that they have done work up as far as Mims and Scottsmore. They provide professional sales services and repairs. They specialize in air conditioning and heating and electrical. They work primarily in residential settings, but do some light commercial work as well. They do provide emergency service when necessary for their customers. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. If you're looking for an AC company or a heating company, I mean, chances are we still got some cold days ahead of us. And you're looking for someone you can trust. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He pastors a church and brings biblical values not only to the pulpit, but to his business. They are precious, precious people. And their license number is CAC 182-1309. That may be a great resource for you should you be in need of those type of services. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I'm going to let that sink in for just a minute. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. So, we talked yesterday about that perfected love and getting people ready for the time of judgment, for the day of judgment. And this is what it says next. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That little phrase may be a bubble burster for some who've been around. There are many people who live their life in such a way that their relationship with Jesus does not transform them here in this life. They are living as if all of the transformation is going to happen when Jesus comes or when they die. But I want to tell you that that is not the type of transformation that the Bible talks about. So if you were to look at Romans chapter 12, let me turn back there, and it says this, verse number 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means the transformation takes place now. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not going to be of any consequence in heaven. We're going to know him. We're going to be known by him. We're going to know what he wants us to do, and we're going to do it. The challenge, the transformation takes place here. And just so you know, the Bible talks about that a thing shall be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Verse 1 John 3, verse number 2 says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And again, many people say, you know, they kind of go back to that Sandy Patty thing, you know, we shall behold him and we'll be like him at that point in time. Well, right now we're supposed to be seeing Jesus, the more we see of Jesus now, it is supposed to be reflective in the nature of who we are. His nature is supposed to be our nature in this world. And so there, because we've seen what God wants to do, we want to purify ourselves by the blood of the Lamb. We want to live the same way that Jesus lives. For because as he is, so are we in this world. So if you ever want to do some very humbling reflection, make yourself vulnerable to a trusted person, someone who will not weaponize this against you, but someone who is genuinely concerned about you and knows you and loves you enough to tell you the difficult things, things you may not want to hear. And here's a question you could ask. Does my character and do my actions provide a resemblance to the actions of Jesus? Does my nature, the way I love, the way I prioritize my time, the way I minister to people, you know, and please don't go too far with it. Jesus was the greatest teacher that has ever existed. And I will tell you this, the greatest teacher that ever existed was rejected by most of the people that he taught. It wasn't because it was a problem with Jesus. It wasn't a problem with the clarity of the message. It was the fact his message is hard on flesh. And people love the darkness of this present world more than they love the light. And so if you ever want to, you know, have a good heart to heart with yourself, you can ask yourself, you know, and then there's the other aspect where you may know yourself better than other people know you. And so they may be telling you all this grand and glorious, you know, flattery, but if you know that there's things that are not in line with Jesus, get that out of your life. You don't want that there. Jesus is holiness personified. He is the beauty of holiness. And I want to be as much like him as I can be. And I think, you know, in 2026, we need to, let's get moving to being more like Jesus. Verse number 18. Let's go there. It says, there is no fear in love. I read a lot of headlines, read a lot of news stories, and it really pains me when I hear of people who professed love for another person and then they did horrific things to them. People who live motivating others because they're bigger, stronger, faster, richer, more powerful. And I can tell you that this world loves to motivate by fear. Much of what is labeled news is actually presented in such a way to create fear. And if you think that money cures you from fear, watch the stock market for a little while. And you will see that anytime there is something that creates a little bit of uncertainty, anytime there's something that unexpected happens and the experts didn't see it coming and now they don't know what's going to happen, what happens is they start, you know, they generally have a sell-off and there's a panic that sets in. So Wall Street actually has some safeguards that they've instilled where if it drops too much, too fast, they hit the brakes. And then whenever they flip the switch again, they hope that either the panic has subsided. If not, then it just intensifies. I have lived in the business world where people motivated their employees by fear. Fear creates torment. I've known what it was like when people were utilizing fear as a weapon against me, not in the church. I know what that's like, where you are at that point in time subject to another person's decision, and their decision isn't based on God's type of love. You know what it does? It causes you to put up safeguards around your heart to guard yourself in case that person does act on those. And I'm not talking, you know, physical harm or anything like that. Just people trying to throw their weight around. So I will tell you what happened to me. I had a job. It was here in Brevard County. I wasn't making much money. And because I had spent so many years in the retail industry, I didn't realize how little money I was making compared to what was going on in the other world. I knew that I wasn't making much money in ministry. So somebody gave me this phrase last year. Cause my wife works full time. And someone said, "Oh, your wife works to support your ministry habit." And I was like, that's funny. I've never heard it that way. But I had a boss, and he said, "We've got our supervisors coming in today, and at the end of the day, I could be fired. We could both be fired. You could be the boss at the end of the day. We just don't know what's going to happen." And then he went off to lunch. And while he was away, I was pacing through the stock room, and I was like, "God, I got a family. I got two kids, and we're not making much money. And if he fires me, I don't know what I'm going to do." And God said, how much do you make?" Now, I don't know how God talks to other people, and God doesn't talk to me, you know, all the time in this kind of blunt language. But when I ask, he, still small voice, interrupts my whining to confront my torment. He said, "How much do you make?" And I was making like $7, and I think it was $7 an hour. And he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "If he were to walk in and fire you, do you think that I could give you another job making that kind of money or more?" And all of a sudden, a burden was lifted off of me. And I realized that that guy was not my provider, that God was. And the God who had opened the door for me to get that job, He was more than able to take care of me no matter what that guy did. And so I was at peace. And the intimidation, and he intentionally tried to intimidate people, his intimidation was broken that day. It wasn't long after that he resigned, went to another company. My store ended up losing the lease in that particular shopping mall. And a few months after that, another manager asked me to come help him out for a short season. That short season ended up being about 3 months instead of about 6 weeks. And guess who my boss was, or the supervisor was there? It was the same guy. And he walked in after I'd been helping this guy out for about 3 months. And I'd said, look, I pastor a church. I can't do Sundays, can't do Wednesdays. And the supervisor came in and he tried to intimidate me and tried to instill fear in me and said he either starts working Sundays and Wednesdays or he's got to go. And with no disrespect, I said, would you like my resignation to be effective today, or would you like it to be effective in 2 weeks? I'll leave you with that decision. And again, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but I had come there to help for a short season, and that season was coming to an end. And I can tell you this, God is looking for us to have a relationship with Him that is based on love. Not fear of hell. Not fear of torment. Do those realities exist? Yes. And many people say, well, how is that compatible with a God of love? Well, if people do not want Him to be their God and to be their Lord, they would be miserable in heaven. Miserable. If you do not want to be with God's people, if you do not want to worship God here now, you're going to be miserable in heaven, because it is nonstop worship. It is not nonstop pleasure. It is nonstop worship and serving God. And the enjoyment of heaven comes from finally getting to serve and worship God with unlimited strength and unlimited clarity and unhindered expression. That's what we have to look forward to. So make sure that you do not govern through fear, but instead you govern through love, preparing people for what has come. Because there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love operates in people and says, what is it you're most afraid of, and how can I reassure you that that fear is something that we want to address together? So, when I was growing up, you know, there were movies, and they have biblical truth in them, even though they were done with theatrical license, but they were terrifying. There's been more versions that have been created and all of that, and it would cause people to be scared into a relationship with Jesus. The thing that happened, though, most of the time was that transformation was short-lived, because it was fear-based, not faith-based, not love-based. So, I know a person, and when they were working, they carried a great deal of clout, and they were very driven, and they were not They were not always the easiest person to get along with, from what I gather. But whenever I was in management, and hiring and firing has always been the most terrifying aspects of my retail management, and I've had mixed results in church decisions as well. But I wonder what it would look like if instead of the leadership trying to lead from a fear-based mindset, if we went and said, what's the number one thing that I can help you to accomplish? The number one fear that I can help do away with in your life. And you know what? It looks different for everybody. And so, what I tell people is this: I needed grace the day that I got saved. I needed Jesus' amazing grace. And ever since that day, I have needed Jesus' amazing grace. And no matter what season you're in, whether you are a new believer, a seasoned believer, or a believer ready for promotion into the presence of God, every day we need the grace of God. So I want you to know today that perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. God doesn't want you living a tormented life. Instead, the Bible offers a life of shalom, of peace, of wholeness, of completion, a place of well-being in every area of your life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and relationally. And I can tell you, that's a much, much better quality of life to live. Fear and torment have negative ramifications on a person physiologically. That's why I've never understood horror flicks. Never have. Never will. Why would you want to go be intentionally scared? You know what? I like adventure. I don't like torment. And so if you're living a life and you're afraid of what's to come, Send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com, and we'll be sure to pray for you, because God wants you to live a life of peace, and he wants you to live a life of love. Father, may the peace of God, which passes understanding, be manifest in the hearts and lives of every person that's listening. May they know that they love you and you love them, and they're ready for the day of judgment. God bless you. You have a fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.